We're in a series called Biblical Stories of Faith, and really the subtitle will be Overcoming Obstacles. Sometime around Thursday afternoon, I looked at my notes that I already done, and we're going to teach today on the widow's oil and the life of Elijah. And while I was looking at my notes, I have to tell you, I just sensed in my heart that that was not what needed to be taught today. And so I kind of got before the Lord Friday morning in my office and then again on Saturday morning and decided what I needed to share with you today is, what do you do when times are uncertain? What do you do when times are uncertain? Listen to the Bible this morning. Luke writes this. In my first letter, I told you about Jesus' life and teachings and how he returned to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, actually alive, and proved to them in many ways that he was really himself they were seeing. And on these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. In one of these meetings, he told them not to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them in fulfillment of the Father's promise, a matter he had previously discussed with them. John baptized you with water, he reminded them, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. Another time he appeared to them, they asked him, Lord, are you going to free Israel from Rome now and restore us as an independent nation? In other words, what they wanted to know was, hey, when is it going to be payback time? When do we get to do to the Romans what the Romans have been doing to us? You know, is it time for us for a little payback here? And it made me put this note in the margin. It says this, I think the last thing God wants right now is for anybody to be an independent nation. I think the last thing he wants is for us to be having an independent lifestyle. This is another 9/11 kind of experience where we have the opportunity to really seek the face of God and let God really speak to us. And we can't just blow this off like it's no big deal. Even if it's no big deal. Let me go on to say this. He says, the Father sets those dates, he replied, and they are not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect in the people of Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth about the death and resurrection. It was not long after that he rose into the sky and disappeared into the clouds, leaving them staring after him. As they were staring, their eyes... I'm having trouble seeing today. I've got to have a cataract removed. As they were straining their eyes for another glimpse, suddenly two white-robed men were standing there among them and said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has gone away to heaven, and someday, just as he went, he will return. What a great promise. What a great promise. Now, if you've not been watching the news, or you have not been following the stock market, there's a virus out there. Some of you may have missed that report. There's a virus out there. There's no cure for it yet. We're not sure what to do or what to do about it. But we are told this. We are told old people should be especially careful with this. Wash your hands. Quit kissing one another.
No.
Old people should be careful. And then it dawned on me. Lynette came to me as I was sharing this with her, and she goes, I don't know how to break this to you, but you're an old person.
Target group.
You know? And then it made me go back to my childhood a little bit. Have you ever seen a really good thunderstorm? Man, I'll tell you the truth. I love them personally. I love thunderstorms personally. And here's why. Thunderstorms are a great opportunity. Hey, somebody make room. Here, there's three seats down here for you people that don't know how to get here on time. These are friends of mine from another church, and they're coming to visit us today. Come have a chair with us. Good to see you guys. Chuck, would you give them a fill-in? I love thunderstorms. Here's why. I personally love them. I remember as a kid that I would count the seconds between the lightning and then the thunder to see how much time it took. Love them.
Fingers out of your mouth.
Thank you.
Don't anybody shake his hand. Don't touch anybody today.
Look, I've already got all your
The brilliant flash of light would pierce the sky, and then the thunder would ripple across my heart. I loved thunderstorms until I got to Oklahoma. Because thunderstorms are usually followed by what? I love thunderstorms. You say, why do you like thunderstorms? Here's why. My daddy worked for the Connecticut Light and Power Company. He was a cable splicer. And I told you the story, he fell off a telephone pole 40 feet up in the air, broke his neck, and died when I was 6. My mom, in comforting 4 kids, every time it would lightning and thunder, we would get afraid. And she would pull us into the room together and say this, you don't need to be afraid. Daddy is just helping Jesus fix the lights in heaven. And I was like, well, cool. Every day, my dad's working. Look at, he's up there working. And it just calmed my whole heart, knowing that in the midst of all of this junk, that my dad was working with God. It made me feel good. For the next several months, we don't know what's going to happen. Things are uncertain. Schools are closing. Churches are adjusting. No sporting events. Cranky men syndrome is about to break out. Then they made the unpardonable sin, which was they canceled the Masters golf tournament. Listen, there's got to be several hundred thousand more deaths before you cancel the Masters golf tournament. I'm checking the sky. Maybe the Lord's coming back. Surely he's going to come back when they start canceling the Masters golf tournament. And I realized this. Americans, we don't do well not knowing what's going on in our life every second. We do not do well when things aren't happening the way we think they ought to be happening. We don't do well. And it made me stop and consider this. Okay? Acts 1 is the account of what happened between the lightning, here's your fill-in, which is the life of Christ, his birth, death, and resurrection, and the thunder, which took place at Pentecost. So the difference was, between the lightning, there's the life of Christ, and the thunder, there's the day of Pentecost. There's a 40 or 50, well, 50-day period between there that God is what? Actively working. Now, we must, what? It made me stop and ask this question. You know, times are uncertain. We got that. What must have gone through the minds of the apostles as they were facing uncertain times? Jesus Christ is dead. Everything they hoped for just died. Now they're in the upper room, and I can picture this. Was that a knock on the door? Are the soldiers here? Are they coming to get us? Will they crucify us like they crucified Christ? Are the Jewish elders going to come and get us and find us? So during this time, it made me stop and say this. Was this a big dream? Was this just a waste of time? What in the world had to go through these guys' minds? In the same way, what's going through our minds right now? Some of us are saying what? Man, this is way overblown. Some of us are saying, hey, listen, you know, the president should have done more. I mean, please a minute, what in the world do you think he could have done? All right, I'm passing a bill to stop the virus. And the Democrats would have voted no. So here's more questions. Are we overestimating the virus? Are we going to watch our 401ks fall on their face? Life is certainly uncertain right now. In the middle of all this, Jesus appears. Jesus Christ appears. For 40 days, he instructs them. He tells them what to do. When at times you have to be a bit scared about what's going on, at times when things are uncertain and you're not sure what's going on, you've got to do what it tells us to do in the book of Hebrews. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we are not certain about what's going on in our lives, that's the time for us to stop and simply look to Jesus. When viruses are going around the world, that's the time to stop and look to Jesus. When we talk about a virus is killing, you know, 100,000 people, and we look at the million of children who have been aborted, these are the times we need to look to Jesus. Instead of sitting around trying to figure this thing out, instead of coming to the place where we do this, when we allow sin and worry to occupy our minds and hearts, you've got to stop and you got to again look to Jesus. What is God up to today? How is God going to use this to draw us closer to Him? Watch this. How can you use this as a time of self-examination to stop and look inside your own heart and look at the virus that lives inside our heart at times that God wants to what? Change. I don't know about y'all, but the last several days, my perspective has really been more inward toward me, saying, you know, how can I change the things God wants me to change? How can I keep this? How do I keep my vows to God? Y'all ever vowed to God? You start vowing to God, I'm going to tell you, whatever you vow is going to get a lot tougher. Let me take it further. Okay? Four things that Jesus does for the disciples. Number one, he gives a precaution. Okay? It is not the time for you to know what's going on here. You don't need to know what's going on here. It's time for you, instead of you being concerned about all this, sometimes God just wants us to come to Him, seek Him, even though the answers are not quite where we want them to be today. What God wants us to do more than anything else is to stop, come to Him, and pray, and just simply do this. Lord, what are you up to in the world? What are you up to in our nation? What are you up to in my neighborhood? What are you up to in my family? What are you up to in my own life right now, God? What are you up to here? Why are you using this to get our attention? And to me, it's just showing the mercy of God. We must take our concerns to God in what? Say it. Prayer. We got to take it to God in prayer. I think the biggest issue now, are we going to do this? This is not the time to overthink. It's not the time to overreact. We have to go back to learning how to trust God and do what I said is the hardest thing God will ever ask us to do, and that's what? Wait. Wait until He gives an answer. Wait until He shows us what to do. And I already told you, we don't like waiting. If you don't think that's true, ask my wife what my attitude is like on Sunday mornings at 25 after 8.
No different, really. At all.
Threw it out there, didn't I? Went at one.
You lift your fingers again.
I know, but I washed them off. Washed them off. Okay. Lord, are you going to free us from Rome? Will you free us from the physical concerns we have right now? Lord, what about my 401k? What about my retirement? Lord, you are not spending enough time making me happy right now, Lord. We ought to be what? We're children of God. We're supposed to be the happy people because God meets every need in our life. He doesn't make us wait. He doesn't ask us questions we can't answer. He just does what He does best. He's that cosmic slot machine that gives me whatever I need when I need it. Okay. I know we can blame China. They didn't tell us about the seriousness of this. But make something clear here. The Chinese did not invent this disease.
We don't know.
I want to tell you, if the Chinese would did that, all of us that went to the Chinese buffet last week would be dying. I just don't see that. I don't think anybody, you know, if you're going to kill other people, that's fine. You know, killing your own people, I just don't get it. Now,
you should watch Contagion. It's like they made the movie after what's going on now. It's kind of awesome.
Okay, here's the set. Stop. The two of you stop.
Yeah, but she's a scientist, so you should listen to her.
But she's got gray hair. Look at all the worrying she's doing. Is Satan, watch this. Here's the next idea. Is Satan wreaking havoc in the world? I expect he is. Watch this. Is this the media looking to transfer blame to Trump so that we have a better shot at the election while the economy goes downhill? Maybe. But what does it matter? God's still in heaven. He knows what's best for us. He knows what his mind is. He knows what his will is. And because of that, listen, here's your fill-in. We must know when to get entangled and when to sit back and wait. There are times you get entangled, and there's times you go full bore, and there's times you have to sit back and wait and just trust God is doing what he's going to do. It's not the time to panic. It is the time for us to seek. It is the time for us to be smart, but not be stupid. I'm excited now. They're closing down all the casinos in Oklahoma starting tomorrow to try to do away with the disease of stupidity.
Is that really true?
No. Now, no, I said, listen to the joke, honey. Here, lick the finger and listen to the joke.
Hey, you don't communicate well.
Listen. They ought to shut them down. Get this disease called stupidity under control. Yeah. Put them all in there. Let them all get sick together. I hear you. We must not what? Get entangled. Quit spinning your wheels over the unknown. And here's why. We come to a place. The hardest thing about waiting for most of us is that we do not like giving up control. We want to be in control. And when all of a sudden they start canceling my sporting events, or they tell me only two people can fly in an airplane together, or whatever they're going to say to us, all of a sudden someone is dictating to our lives how we have to live our lives, and we don't want to give up control. Which takes me further to this. I hate others controlling my life. I don't like anybody controlling my life. Except my sin. Now that can control my life. That would be okay. It's amazing to me that we don't want people to control our life, but we left stuff all the time that shouldn't control our lives control our lives. Which makes me say this. The Lord is dead. You cannot allow an upper room religion to take over. Upper room religion is when I let doubt and fear become a cancer in my faith life. There's your feeling. Doubt and fear becomes a cancer in my life. Watch this, and I'm serious about this. God knows exactly when I'm going to die, how I'm going to die, and there's nothing that's going to stop me from dying. So I'm not going to go through life worried about how I'm going to die. Although I have inquired of God about this. I said, Lord, okay, I don't want to burn. No burning. Drowning? No, no drowning. Okay. For those of you who wonder what she said, pillow is this. I asked my wife one time, Heath, if she ever put me in a nursing home. She goes, I promise you, you'll never go to a nursing home. I said, really? She goes, no, you're going to die of pillow poisoning long before you need a nursing home.
You die in your sleep. I'm going to have a real hard time explaining.
Tell everybody.
See, my thought was this. You die in your sleep. So you're going to say, how am I going to make this bed? How am I going to get this bed made? I used to think this. The one time I go up in an airplane with Carl Potter, we're going to die.
And then I
thought to myself, that's not fair to Debbie, so I don't fly with Carl, so I can't risk it. Isn't it funny? Watch this. Isn't it funny we spend a lot of time worrying about stuff that's never going to happen? Let me take it further. Here's my next question. Why is Israel not being restored by God right after the cross? Well, they were unrepentant. They have rejected Jesus. So things with them aren't going to be good. And the persecution they've faced all these years has come out of what? Them missing the cross. Now, how do you heed the precautions of Christ that he's given us? How are we going to heed what he's saying to us? Ready? Focus on the spiritual, look past the natural. Focus on the spiritual, look past the natural. If you get caught up with the natural, you're going to spin your wheels the rest of your life worrying about what you know you can't worry about. You cannot change the things that God has planned to do. Although Moses did. God changed his mind. But you know something? I think when God knows what he wants to do here, he's going to do what he wants to do. Being willing to follow God, even when times are uncertain, allow the Spirit of God to keep you what? Calm. Here's my verse he gave me this morning, Psalms 106. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord thy God is with you. He has saved your life from death. He has saved your eyes from tears. He has saved your feet from stumbling and falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to walk. He saved my life from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling and falling, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, what I prayed after that was this: Lord, show me everything in my life that's the virus that keeps me from walking with you the way I should. And the verse right below that says, fulfill your vows to the Lord. Well, you know, he reminded me of a couple of vows I've made in the past that I've kind of wavered at. You with me? Y'all getting this? And it just woke me up this morning to say what? You know what? I've got some vows that I've made to God that I have to keep. And it's time to put some feet to those vows. Now hear me out. I taught this to you once before, but I stuck it in here. The upright need not get uptight. The upright need not get uptight. There's your fill-in. Now, Jesus gives a prescription for all this. Okay, he gives a warning, then a prescription. The test kit has already been given to every believer to be able to get through uncertain times. And the test kit is called what? Wait. Wait. It's not the medicine we enjoy. We love quick answers. So while we're waiting, five facts about the call to wait. Uncertain times are under the control and planning of God. None of this snuck up on him. You are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that you might do the good works God has predestined beforehand. Everything good you're going to do today, God has already planned for you to do it, whatever that is. Tonight, our small group's going to meet, and we're going to pray. We're not going to eat. We're not going to fellowship. We're going to come together and we're going to pray. Because that's what the president asked us to do today. Now it's time to get together and what? And pray. And ask God, what is going to go on here? Now, here's your fill-in. The timing of what we receive in the end is up to God. The timing of what you get in the end is up to God. Now, my favorite illustration of this is knowing the sense of humor that God has. God has a tremendous sense of humor. You say, how so? This way. Lynette, dear, was I the package that you had dreamed of and prayed for all your life as a husband that you were looking for? Ooh, I know that. Lynette, as you put this great package together of what you hoped for in a husband, did my face ever pop into that picture for you?
Probably not, but...
But remember this, you could have got Nathan.
I didn't know you when I was putting together that list.
Well, taking my face off the picture, just who I am and the way I look and the way we earn a living Yeah, I can say that for the 2 years that we were friends and she kept telling me that she wouldn't marry me if I was the last person in the world was a real tip-off here that I wasn't exactly what she was quite looking for. See, her standards were so low. I had to bring her up a little bit. raise those standards up a little bit. Let her come on up and see what the real world looks like here.
What's that got to do with it?
For the eyes of the Lord look to you to give you your food in proper time. God will give you what you need when the time is proper. When it's time for this to be over with, it's going to be over with. Until then, we what? We wait, we pray, we seek, we stay quiet, we don't transfer blame, and we just trust. Even if God takes us ways we don't want to what? Go. Now, let me take it further. In certain times, remember, God is always on time. There's your fill-in. God's always on time. Waiting is always for us, for God to continually teach us trust and what? Patience. Patience. Remember what I talked about patience? Heath, I was teaching on this a couple weeks ago. Jamie, I said, I'm only impatient two ways, with people I know and people I don't know. Those are the only things that keep me impatient. Okay, remind me your name.
Sierra,
I'm so glad to finally meet you. Listen to me. We're so impatient. We want everything when? Yeah. Now. We want them to you know, I just can't picture what Michael's going to teach on today, except I know something's going to be said about baseball. And how unhappy he must be that they're postponing baseball. Of course, he's a St. Louis Cardinal fan, so it's no big loss. Now, here's the next one. God waits until we're ready to implement the answer. Are you willing to go to God today and say, I am willing to implement whatever it is in my life today, Lord, that you desire to implement in my life? Are you going to implement these things in my life? We are in danger, here's your fill-in, of forgetting that we cannot do what only God can do. Our needs go beyond our own abilities. Our needs right now go beyond our own abilities. But let me tell you this. I have tremendous confidence that God has placed people in positions who are going to figure this thing out. I know the stock market will come back up again because we're a greedy nation. I know that the cows will still eat grass and you're going to have to feed them and do that other nasty stuff you have to do with cows. But you know something? It really gets down to this. Is it okay? Does God have permission to take us out of our comfort zones, to break down in our lives all those things that he wants to take out of our lives? You with me? And it's what? It's hard. And God makes it hard because, let me say it again, we cannot do what only God can do. Fulfilling my vows, breaking the strongholds we have in our life are things you cannot do in your own ability. Don't even try. You've got to be relying on God to break down the strongholds in our life that are holding us hostage. But I wrote this. Pride hates to need anyone. But it's a need that we have for every believer. Watch this. We need each other. Watch this. We need our families. I need Lynette. I need her. See, if it wasn't for Lynette, I would think I'm pretty perfect. And so that really helps me.
If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't make it a day.
See, when they start closing the drive-in windows, that's when we're going to be in trouble. You know, if McDonald's closes down, people are going to starve to death. Or get healthy. Now, number three, Jesus promises us power. He said, you will receive power. Now this, he gives us the power to wait. He gives us the power to overcome. He gives us the power to endure. They're all available to every believer. Now watch this. The power was specific. There's your fill-in. It comes with the Spirit. It was supernatural. It comes from God. It would be for service. How is God going to use the circumstances of life for us to impact our world today? How's he going to do that to impact our family today? When's the last time everybody in your family circled the wagons and prayed together? Because something seriously was going on in our world. So we have to come to that place where we understand that God is giving us the power. Our purpose and passion for the things of God will then rock our world. It ought to be rocking our world. What Christians are doing right now is we're waiting on God. And as God has shown us what to do. The word power here is a great word. Remember, I told you, I'm not a Greek scholar. I mean, you all know that. I mean, I know a little Greek guy. His name's Harry Papadopoulos. He owns a pizza place in Connecticut. That's the extent of my Greek. But the word here is dunamis, which is the word dynamite, where we get the word dynamite. In other words, the Christian that's trusting God, we're going to be like dynamite to the world. We're going to blow it up that they can see God. We're going to go after God what? Violently. We're going after God violently. And that means is this, and I taught a couple weeks ago. That thing on your back that's holding you hostage, you got to violently break away from whatever that is to get to God and run to God. We got to come to God violently in the attitude of, I'm breaking away from these things. I'm breaking away that keeps me from being the man that keeps his word. I've got to be that person. Now, they saw the miracles of Christ, but now they would know the inner power. He's saying to them this, I'm going away, but you're going to have a new inner power. A spirit like mine is going to come and live inside you. It's going to be a spiritual power. It's going to be an overcoming power. The Spirit empowers us and comforts us, especially when times are uncertain. The Spirit what? Comforts us. We can believe God. We can walk by faith with God. We can keep ourselves pure before God. But more than that, this is a time the world needs to see Christians stand up and point them to God. Okay, Trump's not the greatest president ever lived. He's probably not the holiest man that ever lived. But I don't see anybody up standing up and saying, we're stopping everything in America today, and I want you to get together and pray. I want you to get together and pray. At least he's got enough sense to surround himself with godly people who are saying, this is not the time to do another presidential thing. This is the time to do the spiritual thing. And the spiritual thing is this. Call America back to prayer. Put it back in our schools. Put it back in our homes. Hey, watch this. Let's even put it back in our worship service. You realize how little time we spend praying in worship? Because we're so busy what? Doing what we have to do. And that's not a bummer or a downer. It's just the way we have learned to do church. But I don't know about you all, but my wife shames me when it comes to praying. Although I spend my whole day praying when I'm not thinking about me. I mean, 4 or 5 minutes. 4 or 5 minutes a day, I'm praying. My question is this. The word here, it says, you're going to be my witnesses. The word witness can also mean martyr. It can be translated martyr. Let me tell you what a martyr is. Oh, number four. Jesus reminds us of our purpose. I knew I missed something. During uncertain times, we have goals. We have responsibilities. All our responsibilities aren't the same. But we are called to be his witnesses. We're called to witness. The word again means martyr. Martyr means to bear testimony for another, even if it means death. To bear testimony for someone else, even if it means death. And I've done this illustration. Let me do it again. How many of y'all would be willing to die for your family? Hold them up high. I want to see it. Not me. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would. You're going to add to that, but you would do at least that.
I want to learn to live for my family.
But you would die for them. Awesome.
Yeah, you keep thinking that.
He is going to die
Dying for my family does not include murder. Okay? But my whole point is this. You know, we say we're willing to die for our family. Any fool can die. Are you willing to live? Are you willing to live for your family? Hey, watch this. Are you willing to live for the kingdom of God? And that doesn't mean, and again, I've said this 100 times to you, that doesn't mean going out there and being so spiritual you're spooky. But what it's talking about is, I want to learn how to live for God. I want to learn how to live for his kingdom. You know, I want to learn how, when I'm uncertain about what's going on in my world, that I can go to the Word of God this morning, and bam, he gives me that word that encouraged my whole heart. Because my thought was today is, you know, I did this in 2 days. You know, how do I know God really wants me to do this? Is this exactly what I'm supposed to do? You know, are you sure you're not just doing this on your own? Which I'm capable of. But it made me stop and question this. My question, can I be trusted during uncertain times? Are we going to be trustworthy? Self wants to panic that you're feeling. Witness looks for opportunities. Many of you already commented on this. I posted on Facebook this week. If it is sunny on Saturday, please come and toilet paper my house. Please come in and leave extra rolls on the porch, you know? By the way, what is up with all the toilet paper? You know, the kid next door wanted to come and clean all the poop in my backyard, and I don't own a dog. That was posted today. I thought that was funny. No. You're taking everything too literal here today. Watch this. We have his power. We have God's presence. And more than that, watch this. We have proof of what God has done for everyone in this room today in the past. You have proof of what God has done. This is not the time for upper room religion where you question and you doubt and you transfer blame. This is the time for us to pray and rejoice because God is what? Doing something in our nation. 3 things that must happen during this time, real quick, and then we're done. Number one, we need accountability. Watch this. We need accountability. We need accountability to God and the needs we see in others. We got to be accountable to be good resources to what our time is and what we have. You see people with a need today, help them. If you know some old people need some help, watch this. Go run to the store for them. Go run an errand for them. Go pick up some groceries for them. Ask them. I texted someone there. I said, if your mom needs anything, call me this week. Tell me what she needs. I'll go get it for her. Now, that's outside my comfort zone. But you know, well, not, it really isn't, though. I say that, but it really isn't. There's nothing, watch this. There's probably nobody in this room that I wouldn't stop and come do something for you if you need me to do it, as long as it didn't require manual labor. Honest, really, because I thought for years manual labor was a bullfighter. You know, manual labor.
What about babysitting?
Babysitting for your children? Not a chance. No.
But that's where he would just say, hey, Lynette.
Lynette will be there. We need approachability. Being available to God and others, it's an important time. You can't go to your hidey hole and just stay there and hope everything blows over. This is not the time for hidey hole, upper room religion. This is the time for us to stand up and say, what do you need, God? And I'm the guy. Number 3, we need adaptability. We adjust to the things God tells us that we have to adjust to. We become agents of change. We once again become servants of God. Final thoughts. Don't waste this opportunity to adjust to God's will. Don't waste this opportunity to adjust to God's will. God has always shown me 2 very specific things in my own personal life that I'm going to have to adjust to. Number 2, don't miss the great opportunity to fulfill your godly purpose in life. You know, it might mean going to some old lady's house and cutting her hair there. You know, it might mean us praying a little bit more than we used to. Right now, acting right must be the greatest purpose in helping people, especially with our own family. Make great use of the time we have together. And that's hard for us sometimes because we all live in our house in all separate worlds. Look at me. The upright need not get uptight. Whatever God's up to, God's up to. What I don't want to do is get in the way. I don't want to get in the way. Amen? Take some time this week and pray. Father God, thanks for today. Father, I pray you are honored today. I really felt you laying this on my heart. Father, I want to fulfill every vow I have made to you. I want you to do in my life what you desire to do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for this family that meets in this room every Sunday morning. That we know we can stand together and pray together, cry together, fight together, but we'll do it together. Whatever we do it together. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you leave, say hi to Heath and Jamie, my friends, and Sierra. They're old friends of mine. I invited them to come visit today. And then encourage them to come back because they're not going to get any better teaching than where they're at now.